book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. All across the world, most of them way before us, have risen a little extra early this morning to come and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you read here in the scriptures, you'll notice it was the ladies here in Luke chapter 24, verse 1. The Bible says, now from the first day of the week, that's this morning, Sunday morning, first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, the grave, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And the Bible says they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Anybody want to guess who that is? Children, who's the shining garment people? Angels, that's correct. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this morning that we could gather together. Thank you for your resurrection. I would pray, Lord, that as gathered here, each part would think back to that morning, all that took place on that morning, all that you tell us according to the holy word that took place. And as we watched one by one, the disciples have faith and belief and trust in you, and they grew in that faith. And Lord, I just would ask that as we are here this morning, we're here to celebrate, we're here to remember, we are here because of what you have done for us and in our lives. We think of the day that we received you as our personal Savior. What that day means to us when we called out to you, when we fell upon you for our Savior, when we realized our sins and the place that we're in, and how we just love you for what you have done for us and how you have saved us and put our feet on the solid rock and on solid ground. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this Sunday. God, I thank you for all that have come out early today to celebrate and to be with the saints, to be together, and to just give you praise. We pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen. You know, the resurrection, my dear friends, is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Everything that we are, everything that we hope to be, is wrapped up in the reality of the resurrection. There would be no Christianity if there were no resurrection. That's why throughout antiquity, all down through the years, these last 2,000 years, there's been great attacks upon the resurrection, all kinds of myths, all kinds of man's ideas, even starting in the scripture to what happened about the resurrection. But the Bible teaches that Jesus arose physically, bodily, from the dead. And so the message of scripture is this message, that death is not the end of those who belong to God. It's not the end. Death is now but a doorway to eternity. God is able to raise us up as He raised up His own Son. And we are capable of being raised. Hebrews 11:19. Jesus said these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And as we get older, as we watch our skin, when we pull it on our hand and it doesn't go back, when we look at ourselves, when we watch our body waste away over time, knowing that the end of our body is the grave, that death is coming, if Christ does not come back in the sky and take us home, that death is coming for all of us, sooner or later. We drive by cemeteries. Oftentimes we think of when we will end up there. And we go to funerals. We sit in pews just like these, and we hear sermons, and we say to ourselves, when will our funeral be? That day will come. But we know that even though death comes, we breathe our last breath and close our eyes for our final time, that Jesus will take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And we have nothing to fear, for He will take us through. And that God will raise us up. He asked at the end of that little phrase, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, believest thou this? Do you believe this? That we shall live even though we die. The Bible says that this is our hope. This is our assurance that we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Psalm 49 says that God will redeem my soul. He shall receive me. Psalm 73 says, thou shalt guide me with counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Job asked a very interesting question. He asked this question, if a man dies, shall he live again? He answered that in Job 19, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet Job said this, in my flesh I shall see God. You have that kind of faith this morning? That in this very flesh that we know is wasting away, and one day we'll end up in a grave, that God will resurrect that body, reunite it with our spirit, and we will have a body like Adam and Eve, perfect and glorified and incorruptible. They're trying to put incorruption in a bottle today, are they not? But the bottle doesn't work, does it? They're trying to put it in the hands of a doctor, plastic surgery, but it does not work. Death claims us, but God has us in His hands. You remember the very first sermon recorded in the church, Acts chapter 2. You look at that sermon that Peter preached. He preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thousands were saved upon the hearing of the preaching of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, is risen. The resurrection is a part of the very gospel that saves us. Take your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, in which you stand, by which also ye are what? Saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all, notice that little phrase, first of all, it's of first importance. I say to you, the most important message of the church is about to be given to us. Here it is. That Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep, some have passed. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. That's how important the resurrection is. The Bible says, as you walk through the Romans road of salvation from Romans 3:23 and 5:8 and 6:23, and you come into Romans chapter 10. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, we look at the cross a lot, don't we? We focus a lot of our attention on the cross. And the cross is important because there He laid down His life, shed His blood for our sins, and He made the atonement, if you will. He died in our place. He paid the price, the infamous price that only He could pay. But off that cross He came. And in that tomb He went. But on that early Sunday when the ladies arrived, the Bible says the place was empty. He was not there, for He was risen. In John chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Isn't that good news to us? "Because I live, ye shall live also." No one who denies the resurrection can be a true Christian. Without the resurrection, there is no Christian faith, there is no salvation, there is no hope. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll pick up the reading in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they who also are fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Because Christ has risen, you and I will be resurrected from the dead. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." When you and I pass from this world, our spirit will be with our Heavenly Father because of our salvation through Christ. The body and the spirit are separated. Our body is laid to rest in the ground to return to the dust from whence it came. But one day, at the trump of God, when Christ comes in the sky, our souls, our spirits will come back with Him. He will bring our body from the ground. He will put those two back together, and our mortality will turn into immortality, and our corruption will turn into incorruption. Verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption," that's coming. It's coming. "And this mortal shall have put on immortality," it's coming. It's coming. "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. It condemns us. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He is risen. He is risen indeed. And one day you and I will be risen as well. The Bible says at the end of this great chapter, depending on all that was said before in verse 58, He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, because Jesus Christ is risen.
Let's stand to our feet for prayer. You are here this morning, and you have not been saved. I want to encourage you and call on you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He was crucified on the cross. He was slain. His blood shed for the sins of man, our sins, your sins. And the Bible says He was risen again from the dead. He was victor over death and sin. He paid it all. This morning, as we are standing in this church, we can cry out to Him from our heart. We can pray to Him and cry out to Him for salvation. We can say, as the man did in the Bible, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and forgive my sins, save my soul." You'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says that you can be saved from your sins. As we're standing here quietly this morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, will you do that right now? In the quietness of your soul, will you cry out to the Heavenly Father, and will you ask Him to save you from your sins? Because of Christ's death on the cross, shedding His blood for our sins, His burial, and His resurrection. Will you believe upon that and trust in that and have faith in that for your salvation? If you are a Christian this morning, you've already called on Christ to save you, and you know that, I want to encourage you to realize the importance of this day and to be thankful in our hearts that we have great hope, no matter how our bodies look, or how old we are, or how close we are to the grave, that we have great hope and assurance that we shall continue to live and one day be resurrected, and our bodies perfected as God intended in the very first place, He will bring to pass with us. Let us pray quietly and independently, and I'll close this in just a few moments. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as You look down upon this earth today, You see the sins of mankind, the broken lives and broken people, many who are in rebellion against You. But God, as You look down upon this earth today and all over this globe, there are small gatherings, sometimes large gatherings of people of all races, colors, ethnic groups that have gathered early, earlier than normal on this day. We have gathered because the grave could not hold You, that You saw no corruption of Your body, and that You raised Your Son from the dead. And He is the first fruits. Because He was raised, we know that we will be raised. God, we think of the Old Testament when they would bring the first fruits of the harvest as an offering to You, signifying that the rest of the harvest is to come in. We're thankful that He is alive at Your right hand, working even in our prayers as we come to You through Him our mediator. God, we love you. Thank you for this gathering of this saints here in Henderson, Nebraska, on the plains of the Midwest. We thank you for the breakfast that we're about to receive, for the fellowship that we will have around the table that you give to us as brothers and sisters in your Son. That we are a part of the family through salvation. That we are your children. God, I thank you for the hands that have prepared breakfast. Those who are going to serve that. And may we thoroughly enjoy this day as we have on our mind, as we should every Sunday, your resurrection. As early saints would gather on the first day of the week, we have continued that tradition throughout all these years, gathering on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, because that was the day of the resurrection. God, may our hearts be lifted up in cheerfulness and gladness and celebration. Just like the disciples, when they began to hear the news, and they began to see you, how low they were. Lord, when we read about these men opening in the book of Acts, how bold and courageous, all because of your resurrection and your appearances to them. Lord, I remember the words of the Scriptures. That even though we have not seen, blessed are those who believe. God, we believe. We believe. We trust. We have faith in your Son who died for our sins, who was buried, and who rose again. Bless this morning. Bless our breakfast, our fellowship, our Sunday school time, our church time. May you be exalted and glorified and honored here this morning and in our lives throughout the week and throughout the years. May you come quickly. We pray this. All of God's people say, Amen.